Good evening. Appreciate everyone being here this evening. As Don announced, we'll be studying about Abigail. And if you don't know who Abigail was, hopefully you will before the evening's over. Abigail's someone that we don't talk a lot about. It's not like someone like Eve or Sarah that you immediately think about and know who it is. But we find there are two different Abigails in the Bible. Both are associated with King David. One was his sister named Abigail. But we're not talking about her tonight. We're talking about another Abigail in 1 Samuel chapter 25. If you want to turn over there, that'll be the basis. And that's where we read about this Abigail. And I'm going to shorten my sermon this evening by reading from the English Standard Version, Don. So I won't have to define some of the words here. Let's read 1 Samuel 25 so that we all have the story of Abigail in our minds. Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him in his house at Ramah. Then David rose and went down to the wilderness of Paran, and there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. The man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. The woman was discerning and beautiful, but the man was harsh and badly behaved. He was a Calebite. David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall greet him. Peace be to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have. I hear that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we did them no harm. And they missed nothing all the time they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever you have at hand to your servants and to your son David." When David's young men came, they said all this to Nabal in the name of David, and then they waited. And Nabal answered David's servants, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants these days who are breaking away from their masters. Shall I take my bread and my water and my meat, and I have killed for my shearers, and give it to men who come from I do not know where?" So David's young men turned away and came back and told him all this. And David said to his men, "Every man strap on his sword." And every man of them strapped on his sword. David also strapped on his sword. And about 400 men went up after David, while 200 remained with the baggage. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to greet our master, and he railed at them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we suffered no harm, and we did not miss anything when we were in the fields as long as we went with them. They were a wall to us, both by night and by day, all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now therefore know this, and consider what you should do. For harm is determined against our master and against all his house, and he is such a worthless man that one cannot speak to him." Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 skins of wine and 5 sheep already prepared and 5 seahs of parched grain and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on donkeys. And she said to her young men, "Go on before me. Behold, I come after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. And as she rode on the donkey and came down under the cover of the mountain, behold, David and his men came down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, "Surely in vain have I guarded all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him. And he has returned me evil for good. God do so to the enemies of David, and more also, if by morning I leave so much as 1 male of all who belong to him." When Abigail saw David, she hurried and got down from the donkey and fell before David on her face and bowed to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "On me alone, my Lord, be the guilt. Please let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your servant. Let not my Lord regard this worthless fellow Nabal, for as his name is, so is he, Nabal. In his name and folly is with him. Is his name and folly is with him. But I, your servant, did not see the young men of my Lord, whom you sent. Now then, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, because the Lord has restrained you from blood guilt and from saving with your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek to do evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now let this present that your servant has brought to my Lord be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your servant, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord. And evil shall not be found in you so long as you live. If men rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living, in the care of the Lord of your God. And the lives of your enemies he shall sing out as from the hollow of a sling. And when the Lord has done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and has appointed you prince over Israel, my Lord shall have no cause of grief or pangs of conscience, for having shed blood without cause, or for my Lord working salvation himself. And when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your servant." And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Blessed be your discretion, and blessed be you, who have kept me this day from blood guilt and from working salvation with my own hand. For as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has restrained me from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, truly by morning there had not been left to Nabal so much as one male." Then David received from her hand what she had brought him, and he said to her, "Go up in peace to your house. See, I have obeyed your voice, and I have granted your petition." And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. So she told him nothing at all until the morning light. In the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And about 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord who has avenged the insult I received at the hand of Nabal, and has kept back his servant from wrongdoing. The Lord has returned the evil of Nabal on his own head." Then David sent and spoke to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servants of David came to Abigail at Carmel, they said to her, "David has sent us to take you to him as his wife. And she rose and bowed with her face to the ground and said, "Behold, your handmaid is a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." And Abigail hurried and rose and mounted a donkey, and her 5 young women attended her. She followed the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and both of them became his wives. Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Palti, the son of Laish, who was of Galim. The story takes place when, you recall, Saul was pursuing David to kill him. Saul was extremely jealous of David. David had been praised for all of the good that he had done. You remember that he had slain Goliath the giant. He had been appointed by Saul to be a leader of 1,000. He had been successful in battles against the Philistines. And the women praised him and said, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And Saul became enraged when he had heard these things. And from that time on, it was Saul's mission to kill David. So David was on the run. And during that time, he was here in this field and ran across the shepherds of this man Nabal and protected them, shielded them day and night, and did not raid them or take anything from them. And when he asked for the favor to be returned to him, Nabal was a fool, which is what his name means. And he refused to help Nabal. And here, because Nabal had a good wife, Nabal was protected. And we want to look at Abigail and the good woman that she was and what made her so good. In fact, nothing bad is said about Abigail at all in the scriptures. We don't read any more really about her other than in this chapter. We know that she had some children of David. But look at what she had. We can say that she was a woman who had nearly everything, except for a good husband, we might say. She had a gift, the art of persuasion. We're going to look at that a little more closely, and these are the things that we'll discuss tonight. And we want to look at David's response to her plea and the effectiveness of Abigail's words. And then we'll touch on Nabal himself, as we said, who was a rich fool. First of all, Abigail was both intelligent and beautiful. She had beauty and brains. What a combination. What a blessing. She was blessed with that. But, you know, in our society, we're so obsessed with beauty, of course, and beauty products, and sex sells everything in the media. And that's what the only thing that most people look at. In Proverbs 31, which talks about the worthy woman, and in verse 30 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And that was Abigail. She wasn't just a pretty face. She was beautiful inside. And she had a fear of the Lord. She had many things in common, actually, with David. And her heart was a lot like David's, who is said to have been a man after God's own heart. And we'll look at that as well. God, actually, in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, had told Samuel, you remember, that God doesn't look at the outward appearance. You know, when Samuel was to anoint the next king, he looked at Eliab, David's oldest brother, and said, surely this is the next king of Israel. He stood tall and was a lot like Saul, handsome and strong. But God said, I have rejected him, for I do not look upon the outward appearance of men. I look at a man's heart. And he had chosen David. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 4, we'll look more at this passage. This passage has been used a couple of times this week for good reason. But it talks about the good wife and the good that she can do. But in verse 4 of 1 Peter 3, notice this says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. It's that inward heart, that inward person, not the outward adorning, as it says in verse 3, or the outward appearing, or, you know, that God looks at. She was generous when, unlike Nabal, who was really a 180-degree opposite of Abigail, she freely gave of the things of her. She wasn't materialistic. She wasn't greedy. She was generous with the things that she was blessed with. And she didn't just think of herself. She was discreet. It says there in verse 19 that she knew how to handle the situation. She didn't go and talk to Nabal about what she was going to do. She just went and quietly did it. She knew that if she would approach Nabal about it, there would be a great confrontation about it, because Nabal was a proud man and unreasonable, as even his servant said that he was. And she knew better than to do that. She was brave. She took her life in her own hands here. David himself said that I would surely have killed you if you had not come down so quickly to meet me. So she was brave to go here and to confront David about this situation. She was humble. Notice how that she bowed herself before David. And even when David later asked to take her as a wife, she bowed down and said, I will be the servant of your servants. You know, she wasn't someone, you know, a lot of times when you have someone that's so beautiful, they are conceited and they look down on others. That wasn't Abigail. Abigail had a good heart. And she didn't let the beauty go to her head, so to speak. That wasn't what she was about. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 23 there, it talks about the humble and how important that is to God. We know that in the New Testament, Jesus emphasized how important it was to be humble. In Proverbs 29:23, it says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. And certainly that was Abigail. She was a peacemaker. You know, we talk about blessed is the peacemaker. Jesus taught that in the Sermon on the Mount. And that's what Abigail did here. She made peace with David. And we need more peacemakers in this world. You know, I think about the way that she could have reacted and the way that she could have approached the situation. She could have been outraged. You know, a lot of times that's what we do. When someone has wronged us or you know, we feel that justice is not being done, we put our fists down and we storm into the situation. We say, I'm gonna make this right. They're going to listen to me. But that's not what Abigail did. She went very bravely, but at the same time, she didn't talk about or from the perspective of being angry. And she didn't talk from the perspective of herself or from a selfish point of view. You don't hear her saying I or me or my. Later we'll look at what Nabal said, and it was just the opposite of that. Nabal, when the servants asked him for that, he said, why should I give these things of mine? And here's Abigail giving of the things that she has and not talking about herself, not worried about what will happen to me if you kill my husband. How can you do such a terrible thing? That's not how she approached David. And she was, because of that, she was able to turn away his anger. And that's so important. The way that we approach a situation can make or break it. We can either throw gasoline on the fire or we can quench it. And a lot of times we just throw gasoline on the fire. We take a situation that's already inflamed and we just feed the flames rather than trying to turn away that anger and settle the situation down. And so Abigail's a great example of being able to do that. Notice a couple of things that also that she doesn't do that I think are as telling as the things that she did do. You know, she knew she had a wicked husband. Nabal was worthless. She knew that he was a fool. But she didn't rejoice when she heard the news that he was going to be killed. And the scriptures tell us and warn us not to do that. In Proverbs 24 and verses 17 and 18, it says, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. How many times do we have that kind of attitude? When we see our enemy suffer, when we see them be punished, do we pump our fist and, yes, justice at last, or, you know, clap our hands and think about it that way? God doesn't want us to have that kind of attitude. And this is, I think, one way that you know, David was like this, and I think that's one way that David's heart was a lot like God's. We shouldn't rejoice when our enemies suffer affliction, and Abigail didn't either. In 1 Corinthians 13, where it talks about the greatness of love, it says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Abigail didn't rejoice at the news of what was about to befall her wicked husband. She also didn't keep silent. It would have been easy for Abigail just to say nothing and just let things play out. Well, I guess Nabal's going to get what he has coming to him. Too bad for him. How many times do we do that? When we have a situation and maybe there's something we can do about it, but we don't do anything, we're just as guilty for something like that, the scriptures teach us. Abigail didn't keep silent. God talks to Ezekiel about this in Ezekiel chapter 3 as a watchman for the Lord. He says, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, 'You shall surely die,' and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die for his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul." We have a responsibility to teach the erring today. All of us have that responsibility. James talks about how, let the one who converts a sinner know the good that he does. He saves and hides a multitude of sins. He hides not only the sinner's sins, but his own, Ezekiel would teach us. That we have that responsibility to warn those that are about to face danger. And what worse danger do we have than the wrath of God? Abigail warned, although she knew not to warn Nabal because he wouldn't have listened. So she went to the source of the problem with David and tried to persuade him to change his mind, understanding that David would be much more reasonable about it than Nabal himself would. As I said, Abigail had a great gift of being able to persuade someone. And what a gift that would be for us if we could do the same in converting people to Christ. You know, and I think that's a lesson for us, and we could take some lessons from Abigail here in the same way. Notice that Proverbs 15:1 says that a soft answer turns away wrath. And we talked about this a little bit. So, you know, again, she could have approached it a different way, but she approached him with compliments, with praise, and gave David the honor that he did. David wasn't king yet, but he was anointed to be king. Nabal claimed that he didn't even know who David was. Now, that was a lie. Abigail knew who he was. I tell you, the Philistines knew who he was. In fact, they quoted those women back there in 1 Samuel chapter 21, the king of Achish said, "Is not this David, the one that they say has killed Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s? They knew about the story about Goliath. They knew that David had cut his head off and took his sword from him. Nabal knew who David was, but he was too proud and too greedy to give anything of his to anyone. But here we have Abigail with a soft answer. Isn't she one that we would look at as having a meek and quiet spirit? Isn't that what we read there in 1 Peter chapter 3? We've looked at that passage a couple of times this week. That's what the godly woman is to have, a meek and a quiet spirit. But yeah, we've already said that she didn't keep silent, that she was very brave, that she approached this man, David, who was great, and persuaded such a great man. So you can have a meek and quiet spirit and still teach people. You can have a meek and quiet spirit and still be a great influence with your family, with those around you. You can have that meek and quiet spirit like Abigail. She taught without usurping David's authority. She recognized David as being blessed and anointed by God. She didn't go to him and try to, you know, lord something over him or try to make him think that, you know, who are you? So she did this in a way that was very effective because she approached it from a very humble standpoint. And women today can teach people the gospel, even those in the church who haven't obeyed the gospel, without usurping their authority. You don't have to teach from the pulpit in order to convert souls. Most of that's done over the fence with the neighbor and the friend and the children's friends and their parents and the mother, the wife, can be instrumental in doing that. Look at what Priscilla did in the New Testament. Remember, Aquila and Priscilla were friends with the Apostle Paul. They had something in common in tent making, and they took him into their home. And you remember that when one needed to be taught, they took him aside. Although he was a very eloquent man and knew the scriptures, he only knew the baptism of John. And so Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and taught him the way of God more perfectly. Notice that Priscilla was able to do that and teach a man without usurping authority. Was able to do that and maintain a meek and quiet spirit. It doesn't mean that you keep your mouth shut when something needs to be said or to be taught. Priscilla did that and was effective, just as Abigail. Apollos was who I couldn't put my mind on that they taught. What about the ability to convert an unbelieving husband? That's what 1 Peter chapter 3 is talking about there. We have sisters who have spouses who never obeyed the gospel. We have many examples in our audience of those who did this very thing and converted their husbands to be a Christian. My dad, they weren't married yet, but certainly when he met my mother, he wasn't a member of the church. But you know what? She wasn't just a pretty face. There was more to her. Because she loved the Lord, she led my dad to the Lord. And because of that, he was converted. And they raised a family to teach their children the truth. What good a woman can do. We have those who converted their husbands and they became elders in the church, deacons in the church. We have those tonight in our audience. Women can do so much good. They're so valuable and have a gift to be able to persuade men. And even those that are believing husbands, believe me, we need your guidance from time to time. We need to be taught sometimes by our wives. We need to be simmered down maybe sometimes and not rush into a situation maybe like David was about to. And we need that cool head to remind us what needs to be done and who we are and how we should behave. Think about some of the other influential women that we haven't talked about this week, who had great influence on their families. Jochebed, the mother of Moses and Aaron and Miriam. What a family. You think she was not instrumental in teaching her children? Of course, when she hid Moses, right, and taught Moses while he was growing up in Egypt, in the midst of a wicked society, she taught Moses who he was and who his people were. And he became a leader to deliver Israel. You think Jochebed had something to do with that? Of course she did. Lois and Eunice, the grandmother and mother of Timothy, taught this man from a child the scriptures so that he grew up to be a companion of the Apostle Paul. And we read about him in the New Testament. What great those women did. They were great examples for us. And Lydia, a worshiper of God, her family was converted because she was interested in spiritual things. She was worshiping God when the Apostle Paul went and found her. And she is most likely the person who took the gospel into Europe and began, the churches that were there. She took what she learned back with her. A woman that had a meek and quiet spirit didn't keep her mouth shut about Christ. Now, David's response to Abigail, obviously we read that, and he repented of his evil intentions. It was so effective that he thanked her and thanked the Lord that God had sent her to him. He recognized that what he was about to do was going to be evil. Vengeance belongs to God, the scriptures teach us. The vengeance of man does not work the righteousness of God, James tells us. We need to remember that. David was about to make a very big mistake. In this way, I really believe is one way that David was a man after God's own heart. God himself, you remember time and again, repented of the evil that he would have done to men. But because he saw their condition, he turned away from his wrath. You can read about that in Exodus 32, in Jonah, when Jonah went to Nineveh, in Amos. We see that when the wicked people, whoever they were, turned from their sin, God turned from his anger. And Nabal was a rich fool. He had so many good things going for him and didn't even realize it. Husbands, when you have a good wife, open your eyes and realize what you have. Nabal never realized what a treasure he had with Abigail. He was foolish not to recognize how blessed he was. And as his name means, a fool. He played that part out. Let's not be foolish in thinking that we're not blessed beyond measure by God. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22, it says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Truly, we are blessed with a good woman who is a Christian for sure. Nabal did not use his good fortune to help others, but that's exactly what God expects of us. Those of us who are blessed, especially in this nation, we are wealthy beyond compare to many in this world. We need to use that good not just for ourselves, but to help others who are in need. We need to be prepared so that we're able to do that when the opportunity comes along and not be so selfish that we only think about spending what we have on ourselves. Think about sharing. Think about being ready to do good when the opportunity has presented itself. Life and riches are fleeting. The scriptures tell us that over and over again. James compares it to the grass of the field. So the sun comes up and just burns the grass up. And the flower falls off. That's the way of the rich. So is the way of the rich. He just appears for a short time. And think about the rich man that Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 12. It makes me think about Nabal. In Luke chapter 12, you remember in verse 16, this man didn't know what to do with himself. Jesus spoke this parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Don't be so caught up with the things of this world and forget about who gave you those things and provided those things for you. And forget to worship God and praise him and give him not the leftovers of your life, but the first fruits. The first of all of our harvest. And then we can be pleasing to God. I appreciate everyone's attention tonight, and I hope that you got something out of the study this evening.